resting on the number 24.
Previously, I'm 24.
Audrey is held hostage by Omar as Jack storms the compound with Marine backup.
Step back! Oh my God. Step back!
Now!
I'll kill her! I will kill her!
Omar is shot dead by Marines.
Jack, when I was inside, I recognized one of the men.
Who?
I can't place him, but I know that I saw him before today.
Why did they think you were holding something back from them?
I will not tell these people things about my private life that they don't need to know.
That you don't think they need to know.
What are you doing here?
Your mother told Marwan you took care of the American girl?
Yeah.
Then you need help getting rid of the body.
He's going to kill our son.
Yes.
Behrouz pummels Tariq with a shovel.
I took care of the girl. Marwan knows.
It's not Marwan. He wants you dead.
Who wants me dead?
Your father.
Thank you so much for helping me out. I said Miles arrived.
She's in the exam area. I'm about to do her workup.
She suffers from schizophrenia.
I want us to be together again.
I'm sorry, Paul. I'm seeing someone. Paul, this is Jack Bauer.
Nice to meet you.
What was your courier transporting?
It's a Dobson-type override.
What exactly does this override do?
It's a combination of hardware and software that can remotely take control of a nuclear power facility.
And the person in possession of this program, could they do the opposite with it? Create a disaster at a plant, a meltdown?
Theoretically, yes.
How many nuclear power plants in this country would be vulnerable?
All of them. Yes.
It's me. They found out about the override.
The following takes place between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. Audrey taps away at a CTU workstation.
Jack, did you get the surveillance footage from Hyatt Security?
No, the Heritage Dinner that you attended was monitored by a private company, Felstead Security. I just got off the phone with them. They've got the videotapes on file, but unfortunately they're working off a closed system. I've got to go there, pick up the tapes, bring them back here for you to ID. Where are you on the guest list?
I'm having it sent here.
Yeah, but we're running out of time.
What do you mean? Is it that urgent?
Yes. As it turns out, your kidnapping was just a cover for a much larger attack. The terrorists used the broadcast of the trial to overload the internet and diverted all of our attention away from what they were really trying to do. I need a full tactical for my vehicle.
Which is what?
They're in possession of a stolen device called an override. With that, they've gained control of the 104 nuclear power plants across this country. The override device maintains heat levels within the reactors. Effectively, they can melt down every one of those plants. Thank you. The man you saw when you were being held captive, right now he's our only lead.
Then let me come to Felsa Security with you and make the ID there. It'll be quicker.
Audrey, I can't. After what you've been through today, I'm not going to put you at risk.
You just said our nation's nuclear power plants will melt down if we don't find that override, Jack. We can't afford to waste any more time.
Jack reconsiders.
Come with me.
There are 104 nuclear power stations in the United States. We've just learned a terrorist is trying to convert all 104 nuclear cores into weapons.
Give us the worst case casualty scenarios, Curtis.
This graphic represents a single meltdown scenario. Edgar, break it down for us.
If we can't wrest control of the override, it will shut down the entire cooling system and the core will melt through the containment building. In the first 3 hours, the population within a 10-mile radius will receive the highest doses of radiation. Those people will die within 2 days.
Now, the smallest of these 104 cities represent 75,000 people. Multiply that by 104, we're looking at 7.8 million casualties, and that's conservative. The environmental impact would also be catastrophic. 30 miles in all directions of each plant will be uninhabitable for at least 5 years.
Don't these plants have multiple security systems to prevent this kind of breach?
They do. Well, the override's already deactivated them.
And if we don't succeed, how long before these cores start to melt down?
Projecting the first radiation shock waves in approximately 3 hours.
All right, I want everyone here from comm and logistics to work on getting a handle on the software. The rest of you will handle support in conjunction with NRC personnel. Let's get to work.
Aaron, we're leaving now.
Where are you going, Jack?
Audrey's given us a significant lead. We need to follow it up.
What family?
When we were being held, I recognized someone. He was an American. I saw him at a function here in LA a couple months ago.
We're going to view the surveillance tapes of the function at a private security company not far from here.
I don't want her going out now. Why can't you access the tapes here?
Sir, I wish we could, but they're offline. They would have to record over 4.5 hours of material for us to view. We don't have that time.
Jack told me that these people are trying to use our nuclear power plants as weapons. We have to follow this lead, and we have to follow it now.
Sir, Audrey's the only person who can make this ID.
If anything happens, Jack, I will hold you personally responsible.
I understand.
As they hurry away, Paul Raines intercepts them.
How far away is this facility?
Not far, Burbank.
Audrey.
Paul.
I'll get the team set up.
We need to talk.
We'll have to do it when I get back.
Back from where?
We're following up on something. Paul, please, can we just do this later?
How many on your team? 4 of us, sir. Set up a weapons package. I'll meet you in the motor pool.
Done.
106. Jack looks on impatiently as Paul and Audrey sort out their post-marital differences.
Look, I don't know about all of this, but I know about you and him, and I am not okay with it.
Look, you and I aren't together anymore.
I thought we were trying to work things out.
Yeah, I tried, but you kept putting it off, so I gave up. We haven't been together for over 9 months. We're not trying to work out anything anymore.
Mr. Raines, I'm sorry to interrupt.
She is my wife.
Oh, please. Excuse me.
She's my wife. Don't you forget that.
Jack ushers Audrey out of CTU.
Let's go.
Jack, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
A curious Marianne watches them leave and sidles over to Sarah with a handful of files.
Hey, I just received these files from DOD. I need to give them to Jack Bauer.
Oh, you can't. Jack just left.
Oh, well, can I forward them to him?
No, he went with Audrey Raines to Felsit Security to look at some archive footage.
Well, I guess I could just hold on to them for him.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Marianne considers the information carefully and wanders back to her workstation. She runs a search request on her computer for Felsted Security, and a map scrolls across the screen to pinpoint its location. Downtown Burbank. Paul approaches Heller on the concourse.
Jim, we need to talk.
Come in here.
Heller leads Paul through a glass door towards a deserted corridor.
Did you know about Audrey and Jack Bauer?
Not till an hour ago.
Well, I gotta tell you, though, when you were carrying on right under your nose, that's pretty unprofessional, wouldn't you say?
Look, I understand your feelings about this, but you and Audrey have been separated for almost a year. Paul, I'm sorry. She's a big girl. She can do what she wants.
Well, what she's doing, she's breaking my heart.
Heller gives Paul a conciliatory pat on the shoulder and leaves. 108. Marianne walks over to the back area and pulls out a manual keyboard from the system's technical support drive. As she slips out her cell phone, Sarah sees her as she descends the stairs.
Marianne. Sarah, what do you need back here?
Edgar asked me to do a manual reboot of Hub 5.
Well, I can do that, friend.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Marianne pretends to carry on working. She discreetly fixes a hands-free earpiece in her ear and makes a call from her cell.
Bauer and Audrey Raines left here about 5 minutes ago.
Where'd they go?
Felsted Security. 357 White Oak Boulevard. It's in Burbank.
All right, good. You're going to need to set things up on your end.
What are you talking about? This should be done here.
No. When Jack Bauer and Audrey Raines are killed, CTU is going to know that someone inside leaked their location.
All right. What do I do?
Divert suspicion.
Fine. 109. Navi Araz watches an update on Fox News.
I'm standing live in an area just outside of the perimeter. Unfortunately, the Pentagon is not commenting at this time, but what we do know is that at 12:10 p.m., Secretary Heller and his daughter, Audrey Raines, were successfully rescued. The number of fatalities is unknown, but sources say there might have been as many as 20 terrorists inside the building at the time, and it appears there are no survivors among them. It is also
yes.
Any loss, doctor?
It looks like all the critical instructions were uploaded before the assault.
Good, then. We're all set?
Yes. The override has taken control of the nuclear power plants.
What about Beirut? What about our son?
We have to be strong now. We'll mourn him when this is over.
Navi strokes her arm in a vain attempt to comfort her, then leaves. Dina stares at the wall, distraught and confused. The phone rings.
Hello?
Mom?
Beirut? Are you all right?
Tariq tried to kill me. He was going to shoot me. I had to defend myself.
What did you do?
I killed him. You can't let Father know.
Why not?
Because Father's the one who told Tariq to do it. He wants me dead because I messed up with Debbie.
Beirut, that's not possible. Your father would never want to hurt you.
It's true. Mom, I don't know what to do. You have to help me.
Where are you now?
I'm near the Metrolink station on Lassen in Chatsworth.
Are you using Tariq's car?
Yes.
Hide it. I'll pick you up there in a half hour.
Hurry.
Navi catches her gathering her coat and car keys.
Who was on the phone?
It was nothing important.
Liar. What did Beirut do?
No, what did you do? Did you give the order?
Beirut was not committed. It was just a matter of time before he turned against us.
You ordered Tariq to kill him. To kill our own son. No! 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 You...
In the struggle, he pins her against the wall.
Where's Tariq?
Beirut killed him.
That's impossible.
Because you think he's weak. He's not.
Nothing. Nothing will stand in the way of what needs to be done. Not him. Not you. Where is he now?
Why? What are you going to do? You're hurting me.
I will do more than that. Now you listen to me, woman. You will do exactly as you told him. You will pick him up in a half an hour.
112. End of part one. Part two. 117. Audrey and Jack are driven along the freeway by a CTU chauffeur towards Felstead Security in Burbank. Unnoticed in the back seat, Audrey shuffles closer to Jack and discreetly hooks one of her fingers into his. He responds to her touch. Jack turns something over in his mind.
What did you say to Paul?
And I'm filing for divorce as soon as I get back to D.C.
You sure that's what you want?
Yes.
Okay.
Their fingers intertwine with as much affection as they dare show. Back at CTU, Sarah to Edgar.
It looks like the Dobson override device hasn't completely taken control of all the reactors. I'm starting to get some response.
What could I do?
Nothing. Just stay off Hub 5. I need it.
I thought Hub 5 was down for a reboot.
No.
Curtis, come here.
Sarah to Marianne.
Can I talk to you for a minute? Actually, I'm kind of busy. You lied to me about doing a reboot for Edgar. Yes, I did. Why?
Sarah, I had a personal call to make, and I knew it would be inappropriate at the time of the crisis. I didn't want anyone to know.
Then why do you do it in here? Why didn't you just go outside?
I was trying to make it look like I was working, okay? Look, I'm sorry. It won't happen again.
Sarah marches off in disgust. 1:19. Navi and Dina drive to the train station to pick up Beruz. Navi's cell phone rings. Some sort of signal scrambling device is attached.
It's Marwan. Yes.
Has Tariq taken care of your son?
I haven't spoken with Teddy yet, but I'm sure if there was a problem, he would have called.
The fact that I'm even talking to you about this is a problem. The next 2 hours are crucial. I can't be distracted by this.
I understand. I promise I will personally oversee the situation and make sure it is resolved.
Fix this, Navi.
Of course.
What is Marwan going to say if he finds out Beruz killed Tariq?
Tariq is expendable. Like we all are. Marwan understands that. All he cares about is that Beruz is silenced.
I will not be able to look at you after today without thinking about what we did to him.
Navi looks across to Dina, her watery eyes meeting the resolute coldness of his own, and continues to drive on. Meanwhile, Edgar continues to hack into the Dobson Override's code sequence.
I think I got it.
What?
The Dobson Override. I think I got a piece of the code.
What does that mean?
If this is really it, I can turn off the Override and stop the remaining plans from melting down.
What do you need?
To get into the software kernel, but the NRC will never let me. It's too dangerous.
Why?
If I tinker in there and screw up, I can start a chain reaction.
All right, Edgar. I'm going to need you to present this to Heller. You can order NRC to let you in.
Present to Heller?
Yeah, he's in a situation. What?
I shouldn't do this, Curtis.
Why not?
I could faint. I feel very nauseous. I have low blood sugar.
Well, it's just Driscoll and Heller.
Driscoll's in there too?
He'll be fine.
1:21. Curtis leads Edgar and Sarah into the briefing room.
Excuse me, Mr. Secretary. I'm going to have to interrupt you.
What is it?
This is Edgar Stiles, our chief analyst. He's requesting access to the kernels of the power plants.
My understanding is that no one is to manipulate those kernels while the plants are online.
Yes, but there is a way to do it if you're careful.
I'd have to stay away from the pre-compile headers while I was putting a software lock on the Dobson override code. But the chances of causing a load imbalance?
I don't understand one thing you're talking about. Just tell me what the downside is if the kernels are disrupted because of your manipulation.
If I make a mistake, I can accelerate a core meltdown in some of the reactors. This is probably a bad idea. Maybe we shouldn't do it.
But if you're successful, you can regain control of the reactors?
Yes.
Edgar, what we need to know is, can you do this without making a mistake?
Yeah, I can do it.
You're not filling me with confidence, Edgar.
Look, I'm just a little nervous. But if I say I can do it, I can do it.
Navi and Dina in the car.
He'll run away the moment he sees you.
He won't see me. You'll be the only one in the car when you pick him up.
It's Beruz.
Answer me.
Hello?
Are you almost here?
Yes.
What did you tell Dad?
I didn't. I just left. He was busy working.
What are we going to do? Wherever we go, he'll find us.
No, he won't. I know a safe place.
I didn't understand until today what it would feel like doing these things that are wrong, Mom. And I see it now.
Don't think about that anymore. You'll be safe now.
But I am thinking about it. Maybe I should go to the police and tell them everything I know.
We'll talk about it when I get there.
Okay.
Dina looks accusingly at Navi, emotion welling up in her angry eyes.
You did well.
1:28. Navi pulls into a side street and jumps out of the car. As Dina makes her way round to the front of the car to the driver's seat, she sees two mean-looking Middle Eastern men emerge from a car parked opposite.
Who are they?
Don't worry about it. Just make sure you take the second exit at Angela's Crest.
He's going to ask me why I'm stopping.
Let him ask.
What do I tell him?
Don't tell him anything. We'll meet you there.
Dina obediently climbs back into the car, but views the two henchmen with increasing alarm. She turns the car around and heads off along the main street towards the station, closely followed by a bitter-looking Navi in the second car. ...129. Curtis O'Driscoll, back at CTU.
Aaron, we're making good progress.
Tell me.
We've been able to take 87 power plants offline. They're safe.
What about the other 17?
Well, the terrorists were able to use the override to block a shutdown. Everything we're trying is being repelled.
What are we doing to get around it?
Believe me, Aaron, we're trying everything. If there's a way, we'll find it. I'll keep you posted.
O'Driscoll arrives at the CTU clinic. Before entering, she observes her daughter Maya through the glass doors.
Sweetheart? How are you feeling?
Not good. I don't like these doctors. I want Dr. Aronowitz.
You can't see him today.
Why not?
Because I can't leave here. And I want you close by.
Then stay here with me.
I'll be back in a few minutes, I promise. But you have to do something for me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I need you to do something. Look at me. Maya, look at me. You need to cooperate with the doctors. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
She calms Maya down by settling her back in her hospital bed. Maya tries to clasp at her mother's hand as she leaves, but O'Driscoll walks on. A nurse gives her medication.
Take these, please.
131. Curtis to Heller.
Your son was in sensory deprivation for a total of 2.5 hours.
What did you say when you took him off it?
Nothing.
You tortured my son for almost 3 hours and ended up yielding nothing?
You gave the order, sir.
Curtis keys in a code to open the holding room door, and Heller approaches his son with a certain amount of guilt and trepidation.
Give us a moment, please.
Yes, sir.
Richard quietly undoes the remaining restraints himself.
I'm sorry this had to happen, Richard, but we had to make sure that you weren't withholding anything from us.
I hate you. I never want to see you again.
Please understand that I am responsible for the lives of millions of people.
You torture me, and now you want me to forgive you? It just confirms everything I always knew about you. Am I free to leave?
Yes.
Richard staggers out of the holding room in shock and exhaustion, not even glancing at the man he once called father. Heller silently bows his head, heavy with regret at the rift with his son. Meanwhile, as Audrey and Jack continue their journey by car, Audrey receives a call.
Yeah, Paul.
Audrey, do you have a minute?
Sure, what's going on?
I just talked to your dad, and he said something to me that I've been thinking about a lot. He said that you're a big girl, and I think I've been treating you like a child.
I don't think that, Paul.
Well, whether it comes off that way or not, I need to respect your choices, respect who you are, and I've been so stupid about all of this. I've lost sight of the things I love about you.
Look, I hear what you're saying, but I don't really know how to respond to that.
Well, you don't have to. I just want you to know that I've been wrong about a lot of things. And just before you make any big decisions, decisions that you're entitled to make, let some time go by. Is that fair? Is that fair of me to ask?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, well, I'll see you later.
Yeah, see you later.
Jack gives her a look of support, then addresses the chauffeur.
How far out are we?
A few miles away, sir.
Okay.
1:34. Berruas waits for his mum by the side of the road outside the station. She drives up in her car, mindful of Navi and the two henchmen trailing her on the other side of the perimeter fence. She pulls up next to him, and he leans in through the window.
Where are we gonna go?
Out of the city.
Why did Father want to kill me? I'm his son.
Stop, Berruas. You can't think about that now. Get in. Get in.
Navi watches Berruas climb into the car.
We killed two people today. I can't do this. I'm freaking out.
A train pulls in.
Get on the train.
What?
Your father's following us.
What?
It was the only way I could save you. Now, damn it, Berruas, get out. Go. Go! Obey me!
Oh. Navi shoots, hitting Dina in the arm. Berruas jumps back into the car and drives the car away from the passenger seat.
Go!
Navi stops firing at his own family and orders the henchmen to follow in their car. The two cars hurtle along the two parallel slip roads separated by a wire fence. At the end of both slip roads, a main road crosses their path. Dina cries in pain. By luck, Berruas is able to swerve onto the main road and power away to safety, while his father's pursuit is blocked by a stationary bus. 1:35. End of part two. Somewhere in downtown L.A., Navi arrives by car at a quiet restaurant. He parks and enters alone, leaving the henchmen outside to wait. He walks through the open door and into the wooden interior of the restaurant that seems wanting for lunchtime guests. He greets one of the staff and heads through a swing door into the kitchen. Eventually, he arrives at a smoky backroom littered with idle smoking henchmen. A short-cropped Arabian sits in icy anticipation, monitoring the latest news bulletins.
Is it taken care of?
No, there's a problem. My wife and Berruas have betrayed us.
The man rubs his forehead in wearied annoyance and gestures Navi to sit at the end of the dining table.
Where are they now?
I don't know. But Dina's been wounded. She'll have to get medical attention.
So you come to me, asking me for help with this mess?
I can't do it alone, Marwan. I'm ashamed of myself. Allow me to make this right.
What would you need?
To monitor local hospitals. I'll also need drivers, as well as access to police frequencies.
You think she'll go to the police?
No. No. But they may pick her up if they find out she's been shot.
Marwan taps a code into his laptop and snaps it shut.
I told you. I can't be distracted by this right now. Give him what he needs. Make sure the woman and child are captured before they can do us harm.
Marwan leans forward, threatening Navi.
No matter what happens today, you will answer for this.
I understand.
Navi shows fear for the first time. 1:43. Jack and Audrey arrive at Felstead Security.
Has she seen the tapes yet?
No, we just got here.
Well, good. I'll start putting the guest list together.
How long is it going to take you to create the database?
It shouldn't be long. Once you identify him, we'll be able to run it through.
Okay.
I'm working on it right now. I'll let you know the second it's done.
Okay, Marcy, thanks. Our office just got a copy of the guest list from the dinner where you saw this guy. Once you make an ID on the surveillance tape, we'll be able to send it through a database. We'll find out who it is.
Okay.
I'm carrying. Yeah.
Jack, this is Marianne Taylor at CTU.
What is it, Marianne?
Curtis wanted me to tell you that as soon as Audrey recognizes somebody from the surveillance video, he wants it sent directly to my system. I'm on 6-0, Casper.
Why didn't he tell me himself?
They're still trying to shut down all the remaining power plants, and everybody else is still working on that.
Are they going to be able to control them in time?
I don't know.
Okay, keep me informed.
What is it?
We don't have a lot of time.
She seems to be doing better now. She's sleeping.
That's very good news.
At the clinic, Driscoll signs and checks Meyer's medical forms.
Did you give her Haldol?
Mm-hmm. Why?
She's allergic to it. It's in her file.
Medidon, this is old. Maya. This is the wrong file.
Maya! Maya, she's unconscious!
Mary, we have a code. I need 25 cc's of norepinephrine.
How could you have gotten the wrong file?
Excuse me, please step back. I need that syringe now.
Ms. Driscoll, Secretary
Howard. Mary, make sure I get a crash guard and a ventilator.
What is this, Sarah? Sarah.
Secretary Heller needs you.
For what?
He's going online with the president in a few minutes, and he wants to know about our progress on the reactors.
Tell him that Edgar is still trying to get control of the system kernel, and that we'll know more in 15 minutes.
If we do stop the meltdown, he wants to know if there's going to be any system contamination.
I know there won't be any contamination. It'll take 36 hours to reboot the reactors. Is there anything else?
No, that's all.
All right, go.
Looking at a helpless daughter, Driscoll breaks down in tears. 1:45, Jack in Felstead's surveillance room.
We had security cameras running on only two areas of the event. One was covering the main ballroom, and one was at the entrance.
Okay, put them both up.
Two separate pipe feeds flash up on two large monitors.
Ballroom angle's too wide. Let's just go at the entrance.
Right. What time is that?
6:39.
No, that's too early. I met him when I arrived, around 9:15.
The Felstead assistant taps on his keyboard to advance the footage and fast forward through the frames.
Wait, stop. Can you back this up a few frames?
Sure.
The image of a man walking through a metal detector.
Wait, stop there. I think that's him. Can you enhance him right here?
Yeah.
That image won't process. We need to make it clear.
Okay, let me see if I can get that for you.
From a security camera, Jack notices a security guard absent from his post.
Who's supposed to be at that desk?
Oh, it's Mitchell. Probably went out for another smoke.
Back gate's wide open. No one's there. Craig, do you copy? Craig. Rick. How many ways into this area of the building?
Two.
Put them up. Rick!
Guards lie dead on the ground.
Get out!
Two men burst in.
You okay?
Yeah.
Damn
it.
The wounded assistant fights for his life.
I'm gonna call for help, okay? But first I need to know where the surveillance tape is. Where's the source?
The main server.
How do I access it?
On the flash memory.
Watch the security monitors. Do you have sticks? Do you have sticks?
In my...
Jack downloads the image onto a memory stick. The assistant loses consciousness and Jack tries to resuscitate him.
Stay with me. He's gone.
Jack, they're coming.
They're trying to seal us off.
Shouldn't we call CTU?
No. CTU's got to be compromised. That's the only way they'd know we were here. We got to get out of here. Move. Go, go!
Jack shuts down the system, grabs the stick and hightails along the corridor with Audrey. Rounding a corner, Jack points his gun. They dash along another corridor, clambering over two crumpled corpses. Jack tries the doors on either side. One finally opens.
Go, go.
Jack shows Audrey inside and she takes cover in a dimly lit office. Jack searches one of the bodies for weapons and finds a loaded pistol. He shuts the office door behind him and hands the gun to Audrey.
One in the pipe. Safety's off.
Jack.
You can do this. We'll cover each other.
Jack makes a call.
I thought you said CTU's been compromised.
It has been.
Then who are you calling?
The only person I can trust right now.
149. End of part three. Or... 153. President Keeler aboard Air Force One.
And if there are 17 nuclear power plants about to melt down,
I need to update an evacuation strategy.
I agree, sir. I've already laid the groundwork with the National Guard.
They're preparing to go into individual communities and effect a civil defense evacuation upon your command.
And you say a worst-case scenario gives us approximately 3 hours?
That's correct, sir.
Aaron, what are our chances of shutting down the remaining 17?
At this time, I would say it's less than 50%. But we're trying something now that might improve those chances.
When will you know more?
In the next 15 minutes.
All right. Keep me updated.
Yes, Mr. President.
Let's find out from Jack and Audrey if they've come up with anything on their end.
Yes, sir.
154. Driscoll notices Heller bury his tired head in his hands.
Mr. Secretary, I can have a room prepared for you to rest if you like. You've been under a great deal of strain these past few hours.
Yeah, no, I don't think they can rest, but thanks anyway. Aaron.
Yes, sir.
I understand your daughter's down in the clinic.
Yes, but it won't interfere with my work.
I'm sure it won't. I was just wondering if everything was okay.
It's something we've lived with since she was 6 years old. There are good days and bad days. Today's a bad one.
I'm sorry.
Meanwhile, Jack and Audrey slowly pick their way along more deserted corridors.
We gotta go right.
At the stairwell, Jack sees an assassin reflected in a mirror and shoots him dead.
Come on.
They descend the stairs. Emerging into the garage, more gunmen appear from beneath the garage door. They duck out of sight.
Move.
As the garage door continues to wind open, armed gunmen flood into the garage from outside to join forces with those pouring from within the building. Jack and Audrey are trapped and cornered behind a car. Another assassin appears from the stairwell door and Jack shoots him before he sees them. All hell breaks loose as the gunmen open fire with pistols and machine guns.
Okay, we're gonna get through this. You gotta listen to me. I need to get that guy's weapon. I need you to provide cover. Save your ammunition. Space out your shots. You ready? Okay.
Jack darts across the garage under fire and finishes off one of the assassins. Grabbing his gun, he realizes the magazine is nearly empty and fights his way back to Audrey.
Audrey, get down!
Hold out!
Stay down! I'm empty.
What?
I'm empty.
The gunmen slowly close in for the kill. Jack picks up his pistol by the barrel and braces himself for their last attack. suddenly someone shoots the gunman from behind. It's Tony Almeida.
Jack!
Tony!
You okay?
Yeah, we're all right. Move, move!
Jack and Audrey escape from Felstead before any more gunmen can arrive. Meanwhile, as Baruz continues to drive away from his vengeful father, Dina nurses her gunshot wound to her arm, and Maya lies unconscious in her bed. 1:57.
Edgar's just started the final sequence.
Is he in the colonel yet?
Yes, this is where he can't make a mistake. If he does, I'll accelerate the meltdowns instead of stopping them.
Sarah, look up the op code for load A register conditional.
FF09.
No, that's a jump A. I need a load A. Damn it, move. That's it, ABA1. I think I got it.
What do you mean you think?
I'd like to go through it again before I send it, please.
How long will that take?
10 minutes.
We don't have time. You have to do it now.
Let me just check the headers.
Now, Edgar.
Edgar taps in a string of computer codes and finally clicks on a flashing icon that reads, Execute All.
Did the best I could, so I hope it works.
So do I.
Everyone in the room holds their breath and stands to watch the main monitor. The screen shows all the remaining 17 power stations across the United States that have still not responded to Edgar's intervention. They continue to flash the same warning in mockery of his efforts. Marianne looks on.
There's no response.
Come on.
A sigh of relief begins to fill the room as a nuclear symbol turns from active amber to shut down green.
There they go.
Smiles of joy all round as each of the power stations shut down in the methodical, gradual sequence. A beaming Secretary Heller shakes Edgar's hand.
Congratulations, Edgar.
Thank you, sir.
The shutdown sequence suddenly grinds to a halt, and flashing red symbols appear on screen.
Edgar, what's going on? Why are some of the reactors still not shutting down? Edgar, talk to me.
Six of the reactors are immune to the kill sequence. The DOPS and override's already taken over their system.
Those six are gonna melt down?
The shutdown codes have been completely corrupted.
Contact Bauer. Either he finds the people responsible for planning the override, or we're looking at a nuclear holocaust.
2 p.m. The end.